It's been said that a sermon is what happens when a preacher wrestles with the text and occasionally loses. It's also been said, if a postal worker doesn't pick and choose what mail they think you prefer, then a preacher shouldn't either. The phrase, comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, was originally coined by American humorist Finley Peter Dunne for journalism, but later was adopted by many clergy, theologians, and preachers, including Reinhold Niebuhr and Amy Jill Levine, to describe the role of the gospel and preaching, to provide solace to the suffering while challenging the comfortable to grow and change. One takes compassion, the other, courage. So I'm going to give you a little peek into what it's like to write a sermon after convention. With rare exception, every sermon begins the same way. A Bible, a scratch pad, a blank page, and an endlessly blinking cursor. And the closer it gets to Sunday morning, the stronger the whisper. What if I don't have anything to say? Sermon writing is an embodied practice of the letter to Timothy. Showing up week after week, reading again, praying again, listening again, praying again. It is persistence made flesh, wrestling with the text until the word blesses you back, and believing that somewhere amidst all the noise and the voices that are shouting for recognition, God's voice is that quiet whisper, consistently calling us to proclaim the good news with persistence, patience, and faith. Even when we dread coming up empty, God still has something to say. And that divine persistence comes through in all our readings today. Rather than thinking of them as three separate lessons, these passages tell one story in three voices. A God who keeps showing up, a prophet who keeps believing, and a preacher who keeps writing. In Jeremiah, God beholds a people who have broken every single promise and turned away at every opportunity. And still, God says, I will make a new covenant. Rather than abandoning feckless Israel, God starts over again, planting mercy deeper this time, not on stone, but on their hearts, the very hearts of God's people, where it cannot be erased. The letter to Timothy urges, preach, persist, do not lose heart. Here, God's persistence becomes our vocation. The faith that will not give up is the faith we're called to embody, to speak, to write, to act, even when it is inconvenient, like the night after convention, even when it's risky. And in Luke, Jesus tells a story of a widow who continues to demand justice from a judge who neither fears God nor respects people. She has no power, no standing, no allies, only the stubborn tenacity to keep showing up. Now, this widow is often presented as a model for our own perseverance in prayer. But I wonder, what if instead she reveals something about God's nature? What if God is the widow, knocking on the doors of our conscience, pleading for justice in an unjust world, wearing down our indifference with relentless compassion? The widow, as a portrait of God's persistence, isn't an unfamiliar picture. Imagine, if you will, God or Jesus taking the posture of the powerless, showing up day after day, preaching love and compassion in the face of human indifference. That is the heart of divine love, the love that refuses to quit. It's the same loving persistence that drives Jeremiah's promise and the commission to Timothy. God keeps pleading, God keeps writing, and God keeps calling us to do the same. You might recall the Right Reverend Mary Ann Budd, Bishop of Washington, who showed this kind of courage when she pleaded for mercy from the pulpit of the National Cathedral, naming compassion for migrants and LGBTQ youth as central to the gospel. Speaking with grace and truth, she stepped forward not in outrage, but in clarity. She reminded the nation that the church's mission is mercy. Not because the moment was favorable, because it surely was not, but because the gospel demanded it. Her courage was not defiance for its own sake, but faithfulness to a word written on the heart. You might have heard about a Portland ambulance crew a few days ago. They showed courage too, refusing to let intimidation by ICE agents stop them from giving care to a patient in need. According to news reports, the 911 dispatch received a call for emergency medical services from inside the ICE facility in Portland. The ambulance arrived within minutes to pick up this patient, but was then prevented from leaving as 50 to 60 ICE agents blocked their path. When these EMTs were told they could not leave with their patient, they said no. Their covenant was to care. They didn't quote Jeremiah. They didn't give a press conference. They simply did what compassion required. That's the new covenant written on the heart. The instinct to serve life before law, mercy before fear. Their persistence was quieter than a sermon, but no less holy. And then we go back to our friend the preacher, an example less dramatic, but closer to home. Every preacher knows that writing a sermon itself is an act of stubborn faithfulness. If you've ever written a sermon or anything sacred and true, you know the process can feel either like herding cats or wrestling with angels. We sit with Scripture, sometimes wrestling with it, often resisting it, until it begins to speak again. Sermon writing is Jeremiah's covenant in real time. God's word slowly being written, not on the page, but on the heart of the one who writes, line by line. It's the widow's persistence on a smaller scale. There are weeks when the words just pour out, and weeks when they do not. There are sermons that preach themselves, and others that have to be wrestled into being one reluctant line or word at a time. And when that word must confront injustice or complacency, when it challenges the hearts and the minds of those who listen, the process becomes an act of courage, the living out of Timothy's command to preach in and out of season. But that struggle itself is holy. The sermon writing process is not just about producing words or a nice speech. It's about listening long enough and deeply enough for God's voice to break through our own noise. Every sermon is a small act of divine persistence. It's God still speaking, still knocking, still refusing to let silence have the last word. So when Jesus ends the parable by asking, "When the Son of Man comes, Will he find faith on earth? Maybe he's not talking about belief as a checklist or a creed. Maybe he's asking, will people still be showing up, still praying, still writing, still caring, even when the world says it doesn't matter? Will he find anyone still knocking on the doors of injustice, or still letting God knock on the doors of our own hearts? Because that's where faith lives, not in certainty, but in persistence, in a bishop who keeps preaching mercy even when it's unpopular, in medics who keep honoring their oaths, in every preacher or parent or teacher or neighbor who keeps listening until the word speaks again. And beneath it all is that same relentless spirit, the God who writes covenants in living hearts, who prays like a widow for justice, who keeps calling prophets and preachers and healers to stand firm. The God who keeps showing up, not because we deserve it, but because love by its very nature can't stop coming back. And that is the good news. God has not stopped knocking. God has not stopped writing. And God has not stopped showing up. Amen.
Amen.